It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder.
You guys need to check out June's journey.
Engage your observation skills to quickly uncover key pieces of information that lead to chapters of mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you? Discover hidden clues and solve a riveting murder mystery. Engage with the brain-teasing enigmas of the Roaring Twenties and delve into June's quest to reveal a scandalous family secret. You guys, I love getting lost in this world. It's so beautiful and engaging, and I can't wait to unwind at the end of the day on the couch with this game and a cup of tea. So can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Everybody, welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
We just want to say thank you to all of our listeners. If you are here on podcast, please leave us a review. Please subscribe. It helps us out so much. And if you are watching on YouTube, please don't forget to turn the notifications on so you can get a notification every single time we upload a new video. Also, a quick reminder about our Patreon. We upload extra bonus episodes on there every single month. And so if you are interested in that, just visit Murder With My Husband Patreon and you can sign up.
And we actually might be uploading a surprise episode on Patreon. So stay tuned.
Yep. So stay tuned. Okay. So Garrett, for your 10 seconds today, I actually had someone write in and suggest that you answer a question.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm surprising him with this. This is on the spot. But Judith Lonsberry on Instagram asked, I love it when Peyton tells the story, but your fresh perspective from your husband is awesome. I do have one question. What is Garrett's favorite podcast that you two have made to date and why?
Ooh, good question.
So what episode do you feel like was your favorite or sticks out to you?
So if I were to pick one, I'm not 100% sure, but I guess any survivor story just kind of sticks with me.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can pick one.
I think they stick with all of us. We get a lot.
Yeah. But maybe the more like survivor ones we do, maybe I'll have one that's a favorite. Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. This case was suggested by one of our listeners. And on the new way we do case suggestions, we have a little thing that says like, what's your information if you want credit for it? And I think she got a little confused. She just wrote, heck yes. And so she did want credit, except for those are anonymous. So unless you leave me your name, I don't know what it is.
That's
funny. The story suggestion was good. And so please, if this was you that suggested this story, please, please message me so that I can give you actual credit, because I'm all for the heck yes, except for I don't know your name, which I just cracked up. So our case sources are a 48 Hours episode, season 28, episode 18 called Dangerous Games, dailymotion.com, cbsnews.com, patch.com, and metrowestdailynews.com. Our story this week takes place in Dover, New Hampshire. 19-year-old Elizabeth Marriott, who goes by Lizzie, has just entered the University of New Hampshire as a sophomore. It was the fall of 2012, and Lizzie was hoping to study the marine biology program, and it was a pretty big deal at UNH, and so she was beyond excited. I guess the marine biology program there is pretty good.
Okay.
So she had moved out of her parents' home, whose names are Bob and Melissa Marriott, and into her aunt and uncle's home, whose names are Tony and Becky Hannah, which was closer to UNH. And so she just moved in with her aunt and uncle to save money from living in student housing. She loved her friends. She was outgoing. And more than anything, she loved animals. Lizzie had been volunteering at the New England Aquarium just before leaving for college. On Tuesday, October 9th, 2012, Lizzie left her aunt and uncle a letter at home that said she was going to a friend's house that night and would be home no later than 12 or 12:30. By the next morning, Lizzie hadn't come home. Her aunt and uncle are skeptical, but don't want to budge too much into her life. She is a young adult, after all, at college. And if she wanted to stay too late at a friend's house and crash there for the night, and that's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until Thursday morning, when there was still no sign of Lizzie, not even her car, that her aunt and uncle truly begin to panic. So they decide to call Bob and Melissa Marriott, Lizzie's parents, to see if they had heard from their daughter, who was staying with Tony and Becky. When Tony called Bob, he said, "Have you heard from Lizzie? We haven't seen her for a couple days. We're just getting a little worried." And Lizzie's father, Bob, replied, "No, we were actually just about to call you guys because we haven't heard from her."
Uh-oh, okay.
Lizzie's parents are sick to their stomachs. Like, is there a checklist that you should do when your daughter is suspected to be missing? They lived a couple hours away in Massachusetts, so they decided to call police to report Lizzie missing, meanwhile making the drive to where Lizzie was last seen.
I feel like we've been doing a couple of these missing ones lately, and it's just, it's horrible. Like, yeah. I can't imagine that feeling.
Of, like, we haven't heard or seen her. Mm-hmm. In the car, they also call anyone and everyone that they can think of that could help, but they really don't get that, you know, they don't get very far.
Okay.
But the problem is neither her parents nor her aunt and uncle knew what friend Lizzie had left to go see that Tuesday night. On the note, she said, "We're going to see a friend." Okay. No one knew what friend it was. But back at the police station, investigators had been immediately working the case, and they quickly found out through friends who Lizzie was supposed to go see that night.
So everyone's actually, I guess, investigating the case. They're not like, "Oh, she could have just run away."
Yes, they immediately investigate, even though that's she's good. A young adult.
Because last week, that was completely
not the
different.
Case. Uh-huh. Yeah. They find out that Lizzie, the friend she was going to see, was a young girl by the name of Kat McDonough. The friend who told police this information was named Nate McNeil. He worked at the local Target with Lizzie and Kat.
Okay.
So Lizzie worked at Target. She went to go see Kat that night. And Nate is the friend who said, "Oh, they were going to hang out because at work, we all work at Target together." They said they were going to hang out. Nate was one of Lizzie's new friends in New Hampshire, and he says that Lizzie was always happy and searched for the best in everyone. He claims that Lizzie had an aura about her that made people want to talk to her, that she was super special. Nate tells police that when Lizzie hadn't been answering his texts, and then he found out that she had been missing, he texted Kat to ask if she had seen Lizzie since they hung out on Tuesday.
Why would Nate be texting her?
Kat?
Yeah.
Oh, just texting Lizzie in general?
Yes.
Because they were friends.
Good friends. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They worked together. They were friends. They talked pretty frequently. Keep in mind, she just moved here, so it's not like she has a ton of friends.
So they weren't like boyfriend or girlfriend or anything? Mm-mm. Okay.
Nope. Kat texts Nate back and is like, "Yeah, Nate, actually, we were supposed to hang out on Tuesday, but Lizzie never showed to hang out. And so I too am worried about Lizzie." And Kat also says, "Yeah, you know, police called me and I told them that Lizzie was missing and everything that happened and that she never showed up for when we were supposed to hang out, and that's it." So now Kat and Nate had actually known each other for a long time. So they worked at Target together, but that's not how they met. They grew up together. Kat was actually one of Nate's sister's friends all the way back from kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
So they knew each other for a long time, and then Lizzie kind of came into the mix in 2012. As investigators are piecing all of this information together as well, they learn that Kat McDonough lived with her boyfriend, Seth Mazzilia. And Kat and Seth had met in the summer of 2011, so just a year earlier, and they both were involved in the local theater scene.
Okay.
And so, side note, when I was little, I wanted to be an actress and a singer so bad. I knew I was going to be famous, which I'm not. But I literally could have sworn I was going to be famous because I was going to be an actress or a singer. And so, yeah, I never took theater class.
That's funny.
Did you take theater class?
In high school, it was one of the electives.
Oh, so did you act in a play?
No.
Oh, you just took class.
I kind of just did whatever needed to be done to
pass
the class.
Oh, you were a stage manager.
No.
You were back there pulling up the props.
We'd actually had to do like for our final project, we actually had to like act in front of.
Oh, in front of everyone?
In front of everyone.
Was that awkward?
I don't know. It was fine, I guess.
8-year-old me would have ate it up.
Yeah.
High school me, never.
It was awkward because I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but I think you had to do it by yourself on stage.
Oh.
You had to like talk to yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I bet you were good at it.
Thanks, babe.
So they are in the local theater scene together. You can actually watch both Kat and Seth's audition for the local play. And we will play those on our YouTube video. But that's just kind of funny to see them like auditioning. And mm-hmm. we're not talking high school. They're both out of high school. This is like, there's like a local theater in town.
They actually know what they're doing.
Yes, yes. The play's director tells police that shortly after meeting, Kat and Seth began hanging out a lot. So they meet after both getting a role in this play, and then they begin hanging out a lot. But Seth was 29 and Kat was only 17.
Okay.
So almost immediately after turning 18, Kat moved in with Seth and cut off all contact with her family. So her parents obviously disapprove of this. And this is like a really bad sign of an abusive relationship. If you like just are you're young, they're old, you completely move, you shut off everyone else in your other life and you everything is about this person.
Yeah.
And so the play director was like a little worried. He's like, this just doesn't seem right. But Seth worked at a local electronics store as well as teaching martial arts and was actually a trained EMT. So he had made his rounds by 29.
Yeah, seriously.
As police are looking into Seth, thinking that maybe Lizzie had made her way over to Kat's house where Seth lived as well, despite what Kat had texted Nate, and maybe Seth was home and something had happened to Lizzie there. While looking into this, they discover that Seth had had a dark side. Seth's name, when run, popped up on many sex and bondage sites. So BDM seemed to be a huge part of Seth's life. Most of his online activity revolved around it.
So when you mean pop up, you mean he was acting or doing things
or just
searching?
On a whole bunch of sites, groups, pages about this.
Okay.
So while researching, police also discovered that Kat had become involved in this online scene as well since they started dating. She was posting pictures of herself with screen names like Vampire Actress and Miss Scarlet. So they were definitely into this. To this scene together. And it's safe to say that Seth and Kat together as a couple were experimenting in bondage and submissiveness and had been looking around on websites posting that they were interested in bringing a third person into their relationship.
This kind of reminds me of, wow, maybe I am remembering some of these, but the other case we did, what was that? You know what I'm talking about,
episode
correct?
Episode 30. That's the Sydney Loof case. Very similar, a boyfriend and a girlfriend.
But they were in like a cult.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes,
well, he kind of started a cult.
Okay. But yeah, and they would like try to get other women to come in. And so this couple is just looking for a third person to be involved in their relationship.
Got it.
So just 3 days after Lizzie disappeared, police brought in both Seth and Kat, placed them in separate rooms, and interviewed them. This is pretty fast work on the department's side. Granted, I know it's their job, but I do find it easy to kind of pick apart like police in these cases because you're just like, there's more they could have done. They didn't do this like last week. And sometimes, like last week, they deserve it. So on the flip side, I will also acknowledge when they do a good job, which these people 3 days after she went missing brought in Seth and Kat and were like, hey, something's not adding up. What's going on?
Yeah.
Once you try Bombas, you'll never look at socks the same way again. They've obsessed over details like foot-hugging honeycomb arch support, anti-blister tabs, and cushioned footbeds that feel like pillows for your feet. And let's not forget their super soft tees and tagless underwear. Bombas has a one purchased equals one donated mission. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you also donate essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting.
Bombas also offers a 100% happiness guarantee. So whether your socks disappear in the dryer or they become a snack for your dog, they will actually do anything possible to replace it or make it right. They've also got this new Merino wool blend socks that naturally wick moisture and help regulate temperatures, perfect for that rainy or unpredictable spring weather. You guys, I love Bombas. I literally wear them all the time. I love that every purchase means a donation to someone in need. And it's not just their socks either. I also love their tees and underwear. They're so soft. They pay attention to details. I just really, really love Bombas.
Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/husband and use code husband for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/husband and use code husband at checkout.
Do you ever find that when you're traveling, you can't help but worry about what's going on back home? Like, Again, did you remember to lock up everything or close all the windows? It's so easy for those little concerns to nag at you while you're trying to enjoy your trip. And that's why we highly recommend looking into SimpliSafe Home Security today. It's all about giving you the top-notch security and total peace of mind, no matter where your summer adventures take you. It's like having that extra layer of protection so you can truly relax and enjoy your time away. You guys, I know that when we travel, it is so nice to just have that peace of mind. You know, it's not only for when you're home and you don't want someone breaking in, but like also when you're away from home and you just want to know that your house is safe. And that is what SimpliSafe gives you.
There's a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras we've installed, so we have a view of all our entry points. Plus, SimpliSafe was named Best Home Security System 2024 by the U.S. News and the World Report. SimpliSafe has given us and many of our listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Right now, get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/husband. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
So in the interview with Kat, police are told the same thing that Nate was by Kat, that Lizzie and her had made plans to hang out together Tuesday night. In fact, they had already hung out once before, but Lizzie never came that night. And then the next thing she knew, Lizzie was missing.
What year is this again?
2012.
Okay. I know I always ask this. Was there no cameras by the apartment complex? Or we just...
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. But there are cell phones. They all have cell phones. Mm-hmm. Around the 2-hour mark of Kat's interview, Kat's like, I'm done answering questions. So she stops answering questions. So police are like, okay, well, you're free to go. I mean, she hadn't admitted to anything. She's not under arrest. But instead of leaving the police department, she sits in the front of the station and waits for Seth to be done with his interview as well.
Okay.
But unbeknownst to Kat, Seth was going to be a little while, because while he was in his interview, he was telling a completely different story about what happened Tuesday night.
No way.
Yeah. So Seth's interview would last around 11 hours. And in there, he would disclose to police that Lizzie had, in fact, made it to their apartment on Tuesday night. So Kat was lying. He tells them that there was sex involved, and then something went wrong, and Lizzie died. Very similar to the last, to Cindy Loof's case.
Wow.
Seth tells interrogators that when Lizzie died, he panicked and brought her body to Pierce Island, where he dumped her in the water. And this is a place, Pierce Island is a place where a river meets the Atlantic Ocean. So the water is rough, it's running. Police immediately send a search team to the body of water, but they find nothing. The search for Lizzie Marriott had now turned into the search for Lizzie Marriott's body.
Okay.
On Saturday morning, just 5 days after Lizzie Marriott had last been seen alive, Seth Mazzaglia was arrested and charged with her murder. Media hears about the search and arrest, and Lizzie's parents are brought in by law enforcement to be told the news.
Was Kat not arrested for anything?
Nope. So I literally, my next paragraph says, I know you are all asking about Kat's involvement and what exactly Seth told police in his initial interview. But the interrogation files are sealed, so we don't know what exactly he said. And police really didn't let out much information, probably because they got a confession, so they don't really need the public's help to like, oh, this is what we know. Can anyone help us? So everyone's confused because Seth was arrested, right? And Kat wasn't, except for Seth and Kat were at the apartment together.
And he said that sex was involved. So, yes. I mean, I assume Kat was there.
Yes. So was Seth truly alone that night? Like, did Kat leave and he was alone? Or did he just cover for Kat? We don't know.
Okay. And so we'll never know?
We will.
Oh.
So you were like, Nate actually ended up texting his coworker, Kat, after Seth's arrest, who he's known his whole life, and says, like, are you ignorant as to what happened? Or, like, did you know and not do anything? Like, can you imagine as a friend being like, I texted you about her and you said, oh, she never showed up. And now your boyfriend's getting arrested for her, like, kidnapping and murder.
Especially because Kat and him have been friends for so long.
They've known each other for a long time.
He's probably like, I don't even know who she is.
Yeah. Kat never replies to Nate's message. Police begin searching Kat and Seth's apartment and apartment building, and they discover evidence in the dumpster behind the building. Men's underwear, a pair of gloves, and Lizzie's sweatshirt. The search for Lizzie's body lasted for weeks, but nothing was ever found. This is truly heartbreaking for Lizzie's parents because they feel like their daughter is just in the ocean somewhere and someone threw her in there like trash and now they can't find her.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And I think something that we can't fathom or comprehend until it happens to us would be how hard it is to go through something as horrible as your daughter getting kidnapped and murdered and then never finding the body.
Yeah.
The body is all they have left, really. And they don't even have that.
I assume it's one of the biggest types of closure.
Yes, yes. And it's like, I don't think we can understand how hard this would be for Lizzie's parents because we're like, well, you know, it's okay. And it's like, to them, it's like, that's all we have to hold on to. And we don't have it.
Yep.
And so I feel bad. But after Seth's arrest, a woman named Catherine comes forward who claims that she dated Seth while he was in college and she was in high school. So Seth apparently has a habit of dating a lot younger teenage girls than him. And she says that while they dated, he was obsessed with murder, violence, and he was also very abusive. That he didn't respect hard limits when it came to BDSM. She would say stop. And he would push farther, which from what I understand is not how BDSM is supposed to work. Like there is supposed to be very clear cut communication.
Like a safe word.
Yes. About what's accepted and what's not. And that's how BDSM properly works. Catherine tells police that in 2002, her and Seth moved to New Hampshire, leaving her family, where he was also trying to bring another woman into their relationship. He had secluded her from everyone in her life and she grew scared of him. She moved out eventually, went into hiding, and then not even 10 years later, Seth's arrested for murder with an 18-year-old girlfriend coming to his defense.
She went into hiding?
Yes.
Because she was scared that he was going to murder her.
Yeah.
Or hurt her.
Yeah, and so she comes forward and is like, it's totally him.
Yeah.
Like, I was that 18-year-old girl until I got out. Just 2 days after Seth's arrest, Kat meets with his lawyers to try to help him out. She looks wildly different than the first version of Kat that we saw in, like, after when she was first brought in by police. Yes. So the pictures will be up on our YouTube channel. Okay. So if you want to go check those out, but they also will be up on our social media. So this is Kat when everything happens.
Okay.
And this is Kat when she comes in.
No way.
Yeah. To defend him in front of his lawyers to try to help him out on his team.
That is not the same person.
And now typically we wouldn't know much about what Kat told his lawyers.
Wow.
But due to what happens later in the case, this footage and information was released.
Okay.
So Kat before the arrest was young, spunky, unique. And when she shows up for the interview with Seth's lawyers, she's reserved, has glasses, soft looking, like two completely different types. Yep. She admits to his lawyers this time that Lizzie did actually come over that night and they all played cards and watched movies, which eventually led to consensual sexual activities between the three of them. She says that they started getting a little more intense and that Lizzie eventually agreed to be tied up in a harness.
Okay.
She says that Kat herself tied Lizzie up. And it was the first time she had actually tied a harness on someone else. She had harness tied herself before, but not someone else. And she tells Seth lawyers that Lizzie eventually had a seizure, suffocated, and died.
What?
Yes.
And just like,
I think she's randomly? Saying from the way the harness was tied.
Okay.
That it was an accident. She Holy even crap. Gets down in the video on her knees to show the lawyer what position like everyone was in when this happened. And it does seem a little detached the way Kat is talking about the event of someone dying like not even a week ago.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I think she's solely here to save her boyfriend, not to like confess to the accident with Lizzie, and she's not here because she feels bad about what happened to
Lizzie. I'm wondering if she's just trying to make up more of a story or if this is what happened.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
And all like her getting down on her knees and everything, the footage will be on our YouTube. Lizzie's friends and family do not think that this version of events that Kat told the lawyers is what actually happened.
Okay.
They do not think that Lizzie would have willingly agreed to be tied up, especially with people she had only hung out with once before. Nate even tells police that Lizzie actually had a girlfriend named Brittany that she was really happy with. And so he's like, I really don't think she would have even done any consensual sexual activity with these guys because she was like in a committed monogamous relationship.
Okay.
So it would be 2 months before Kat McDonough would be arrested in this whole situation, but not for murder, for hindering the investigation. And she's also ordered to not talk to Seth again.
So what exactly do you mean hindering? Does that mean prolonging the investigation?
I think coming in the interview and lying about the fact that Kat had come over.
Okay.
And also not calling police and saying, hey, something bad happened.
Got it.
Taking charge of my health is all about being super conscious of what I fuel my body with. Whether it's food or supplements, I'm constantly on the lookout for the top choices, and that's why I'm stoked to share with all of you Thorn. Thorn takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with their supplements. They manufacture all their supplements in the U.S. using top-notch ingredients sourced globally. Plus, they team up with leading medical professionals to bring you highly effective nutritional supplements. Whether it's their B-complex, creatine, magnesium, or basic prenatal, Thorn's got all the supplements I need to help promote and maintain my health goals. You guys, I'm actually taking the B-complex vitamins every single morning, and I feel like it enhances my energy and mood, especially if we've been eating a little bit unhealthy.
With Thorn, we never have to question what's in each supplement because they go the extra mile when it comes to quality, manufacturing, and ingredients. Give your body what it really needs with Thorn. Go to thorn.fit/husband and use code husband for 10% off your first order. That's thorne.fit/husband, code husband for 10% off your first order. Thorn.fit/husband, code husband. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. We're jumping into an ad right now, and I've had this question I think about all the time because I hate getting sick. Do you ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's tryarmra.com/husband.
Because police do not have Lizzie's body, the case will be tougher. It just is. It's really hard to try a murder case without a body. They need Kat's testimony. They need her to turn on Seth instead of having his back. And for Kat, this is a difference between 20 years in prison and 3 years in prison. It doesn't matter how strong you think your love is. It ain't a 17-year difference in prison type of love.
That's a huge difference.
And so Kat agrees to turn on Seth. Sure, I'll say whatever I need to be given a smaller sentence, which is why she's not arrested for murder. She's arrested for hindering the investigation.
Is that real, though? Like, that was really a 3 year to 20 year difference?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so in May of 2014, 2 years after Lizzie's murder, Seth goes on trial. And at trial, Seth is saying, no, I didn't do it. So even though he said it was an accident and something happened, he's now at trial going, no, I had no part in it. The state relies on Kat's testimony against Seth, which is now a different story once again. So we heard the first story of, no, Lizzie never made it to my house. We heard the second story of, actually, she did make it to my house. And then we were all, I tied her up and something went wrong.
Well, because it's 2 years later.
Yes, 2 years later.
Why? Why do we have to wait so long, I guess? Do you know?
Yeah. So to go to trial, to take a case to trial where someone is pleading not guilty to what they're being tried for, it takes years and years for it to actually get there because the state is building their case. The defense team is building their case. And to go to trial, you have to agree like, okay, we're ready to go. Like we've done all the investigating we can, because essentially when like the defense goes to trial, they are building a case against the state's case.
Well, I'm sure that was part of the defense's strategy, would be my guess. To prolong as much as you can.
Oh, sometimes it is. To confuse everything. And sometimes it's not, which is hard because everyone has the right to a speedy trial. You've heard of that before.
Yep.
So sometimes they'll be like, the state doesn't have a very good case. So we're going to take it right now. And their case is going to fall apart.
Got it.
Or sometimes they'll prolong it and try to just appeal, push back, another date. We are actually seeing that with the missing Rexburg kids, the Daybell case. They are finding every reason they can to be to like, well, before we start, back. let's do this. And they have the right. That's your right.
Okay.
So as long as you have good lawyers who can figure it out, then yeah, it's possible. So yes, it is 2 years after. And this time the prosecution states that Kat was under control of Seth and in fear of her life. Kat gets on stand and tells the jurors that Seth planned and murdered Lizzie while she stood by. So this time she gets up and says, nope, Seth had planned it and I was just in the room. She claims that she got tricked into her relationship with Seth and was told by him that she needed to choose someone to bring over for Seth to torture. Kat says this was the sole reason she reached out to Lizzie. And that Lizzie showed up and they all agreed to play strip poker. Kat says the lights were dim and Kat was naked and Lizzie was only in her underwear.
What a psycho that he wanted to just torture somebody. Yeah.
Seth then suggested that Kat and Lizzie kiss. So they're playing strip poker. This is all according to Kat's testimony. So she's changed her story once again. This is the new story. They're all playing strip poker. And then Seth says, hey, Kat and Lizzie, you two should kiss. But Lizzie's like, no, I'm in a committed relationship. Like we're monogamous. I'm not into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Seth's like, again, well, maybe Lizzie, you and I can have sex while Kat watches us. And she's like, no, I'm in a committed relationship. I don't want to do that. Kat said, and then Seth just left the room. And Kat was like, he was mad, but me and Lizzie just kept hanging out. And then Seth left and put on gloves and grabbed a rope and came back behind Lizzie and put the rope around her neck and started strangling her.
No way.
After this, Lizzie was unconscious and dying, and Seth raped her, and Kat said that she just sat there silent and watched.
What?
Kat breaks down on the stand when talking about this, which is, to me, kind of weird considering that years earlier when the wounds were still fresh, she acted like she didn't really care about what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But also, she could have had battered women syndrome. Like she could have just been solely froze there. Yeah. To like defend him, not even realizing what had happened was bad. But now it's been 2 years and she's realizing like the extent of what had happened.
I'm just so confused why someone, Seth, goes, I just want to kill somebody.
I know.
I don't understand.
After this, at trial, a woman named Roberta Gerken was brought onto the stand who claimed to be a friend of Seth and Lizzie's. She testifies that she got a weird call at 10:49 p.m. the night of Lizzie's murder, and it was from Kat, and she was asking her to come over. So Roberta grabbed her boyfriend, Paul Hickok, and drove to Seth and Kat's apartment. She says when they walked in, there was a body on the floor by the bed. Seth told them that he went too far this time, and they say that Kat was in the kitchen against the cabinets in a fetal position. So the state brings this witness in to confirm the fact that Kat had no part in the murder.
So they were basically, because I was going to say, why didn't they come forth earlier? But they were kind of holding out on purpose.
The state was holding out on purpose.
Yes.
These two people just didn't come forward.
Really?
Yes. They say that they eventually just left the apartment, not wanting to get involved, and they didn't call the police. Kat claims that after this, together, they put Lizzie's body in Seth's car. And Kat is saying while she's doing this, like, I was doing bad things. Like, everything I'm about to tell you is bad. Like, I was doing bad things, but I didn't murder her. And so they put Lizzie's body together in actually Lizzie's car, and they drove 13 miles to the coast. They parked and got Lizzie, who was wrapped in a tarp and put into a suitcase. They took her out of the suitcase. They dumped her body off the cliff. Now, this part's really bad, so if you don't want to hear it, fast forward. They dump her body off the cliff, but it's low tide, and so she didn't land in the water.
Oh, my gosh.
And so Kat has to climb down the cliff and get Lizzie's body and move her into the water after they just threw her off
the cliff. Why did Kat have to do this?
Because Seth said he was tired. That's according to Kat.
Okay.
They go back into Lizzie's car. They abandon it in a parking lot, and they walk 6 miles back to their home. The defense argues that Kat is a liar and that she was actually the cause of the death, like she said the first time in, or the second confession to his lawyers. So this is why that confession to his lawyers gets leaked, is because by the time they go to trial, they are no longer on the same team. So now they have this video of her backing up their defendant, and now they're using it against her at trial, which is why we saw access to it.
But I think the other couple that came forth and said, this is what happened, probably sealed the deal.
Yes. And so the defense is like, Kat's the aggressor. Seth just helped get rid of the body. Basically just flip-flopping the stories. So 2 days after deliberation, on June 27th, 2014, the jury agrees on a verdict. Seth Mazzilia is found guilty of first-degree murder by strangulation, guilty of first-degree rape and murder, and guilty of 2 counts of conspiracy. So the jury says that the premeditation came in. So for first degree murder, it has to be premeditated, right? You had to have planned it. And they say that they were able to agree on premeditation because of the gloves that he went and put on.
Oh.
They were like, why conceal your identity?
Why would he go get gloves?
If you didn't know that you were going to go out there and kill her.
Yep.
And so that's what sealed the deal for the jury. Lizzie's parents don't think that Kat would have done this without Seth, but they do think that Seth would have done this without Kat.
Which I could see, I think.
Yeah, and so they think the results are fair. Like, they think it's okay that Kat wasn't charged with more because they think that she was just got involved with the wrong guy who led her to do the wrong things. So 7 weeks later, on August 14th, 2014, after Lizzie's parents give their statements and Seth stands up and says once again that he did not murder Lizzie, he is sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Lizzie's parents haven't been to the beach since Lizzie died. They can't look at the water.
All right. Yeah.
There is a memorial in the woods for Lizzie. No grave because they don't have her body.
Mm-hmm.
And in memory of Lizzie, her family has set up a scholarship in her memory called the Lizzie Marriott Ocean Explorer Fund. Kat was released on July 15th, 2016.
Wow.
After serving her sentence. And in December of 2016, Seth was denied a new trial after appealing on the fact that they didn't mention Lizzie's sexual past at his first trial.
Good. I'm glad he was denied.
And it was actually taken pretty high.
Really?
So he tried to appeal and was like, her sexual past should have been released at trial because it would have made me look less bad.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, maybe. And so then they took it higher and higher. And then they were like, no,
you killed somebody.
You killed someone. Yeah. We're not giving you a new trial because of this. And so then he was denied.
Okay.
So yeah, he's still in prison.
Good.
But yeah, that is the case of Lizzie Marriott.
That just blows my mind that. I mean, he planned it. He totally planned to kill someone. No doubt about it.
The glove thing didn't stand out to me
until
they said the jurors. And I was kind of like, dang it, Peyton, why didn't you like see that?
Like,
but
I'm like,
it's true.
Yeah, he went back, grabbed some gloves.
He planned it out.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I think a lot of something that's like up in the air about this case is how much is on Kat's plate for what happened, you know? And it's like, she probably was abused. We know she was cut off from her family. We know that she was probably not choosing to do any of this stuff. But at the same time, you're a bystander, right?
Yep.
And so that is kind of what's hard. So she did serve time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also that couple who didn't call the police, they never like got in trouble from what I could find.
I don't know if they legally could have, though?
Well, yeah, you knew what happened. You hindered an investigation,
that's true.
Too.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you are equally as culpable as Kat if you saw the dead body and didn't report
I'm guessing they cut a deal where they said, look, we'll come forward.
If you testify, which yes. is probably what happened. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of like,
yeah,
you know, like, that was a really bad decision uh-huh. to not come forward because they didn't want to get involved. And then... Yeah. Not get, you know, just basically get.
I'm glad he's caught, though.
I am too, because and his ex-girlfriend said, she's like, if it wouldn't have been Lizzie, it would have been another else. Girl. Like, he was always going to do this. It just was sadly Lizzie.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to see the footage and images that go along with this case, you can visit our social media. It's Murder With My Husband on Instagram and Facebook. And then also we insert all of the media and images, clips, and more into our YouTube video. You can go check that out at Murder With My Husband on YouTube and subscribe if you go there and do that. That would be awesome for us. And also, please keep sharing. Please leave a review. It seriously helps us out so much. We are so grateful that you guys are here. And actually, I did want to say that when we started this podcast, I at least did not think that we would grow a community like we have. And I'm not saying we're huge, but I'm just saying that this community is active. They're present, like,
and growing.
And it's crazy to me. Like, I really did not. I did this because I enjoy telling these stories, and I thought maybe my friends and family would listen.
Like 50 people.
Yeah. But now we just have all of you guys. And so I can't thank you enough for letting us do this. And then also, I just wanted to thank you for sitting here and listening to stories
of course.
You absolutely hate.
Don't.
But you do it for all of us who want this.
No, Peyton's the true hero here. Don't.
You guys are the true hero, not me. I'm just here telling stories, and I wouldn't be doing it if it weren't for you guys. So I just want to say thank you for being here. And we will see you guys next week with another episode. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.